Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Ennett, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
Welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. We stop by every week to talk about the Northwestern Wildcats, their latest game, and look ahead to the next one. And Friday night out in Los Angeles, it was the USC Trojans beating the Cats by a score of 38-17. And that score, kind of an outlier for the Wildcats this year. Not only their second straight loss, which hadn't happened this season, but the 38 points, the most they've allowed, the 482 yards USC piled up in total offense, the most allowed by Northwestern's defense. And this was a game in which it was a 21-14 game at halftime, and then USC outscored the Cats in the second half 17-3. Not a typical performance, but Dan, that's going to happen once in a while. And there were a couple of key moments in this game that kind of swung it USC's way.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, give credit to USC. They're a very talented team and a very talented offense. I think, you know, we were talking about it before the show, one of the more talented wide receiver groups, probably in the conference, if not the country. And I think Maiava's a very good quarterback, and he had a great game. But yeah, you alluded to it. A couple big momentum plays. One, the fake punt, which we can talk a little bit more about. But two, really, that, you know, the 14 point swing of the interception return that ended up in a touchback. So yeah, you kind of felt like, you know, the air went out of the balloon at that point. And it's just a tough situation, right? It doesn't matter how mentally strong you are to see that opportunity kind of bounce through the back of the end zone is really tough to come back from. And obviously USC scored quickly after that, and then, you know, pulled away in the second half when Northwestern couldn't get in the end zone anymore. So look, it's a tough trip, tough game. But Northwestern really has to, you know, take the extra day of rest and get ready for the Saturday.
Yeah. And it was one of those games where I thought they started off pretty well. USC goes down and scores, and then the Cats come right back and score, and then USC scores aided by the fake punt, and then the Cats came down and scored again. But really, that chance to take the lead there later in the half when Najee came up with the interception, and you figure at worst you're going to have the ball on the USC 1 yard line with a chance to punch it in, and it didn't quite happen. One constant for the Wildcats again: Caleb Komalafe, the running back, 17 carries, 118 yards. And this was a game in which the Cats did not have their second or third string running backs. They thought Joe Hyman was going to play, but he'd been dinged up. And in the pregame warmups, they made the determination that he would not play. And then Deshaun Reeder also sat this one out. The other freshman, Robbie Preckel, the true freshman, saw a little more playing time as a result. But Komalafe's, you look at his body of work over the course of this season, Dan, and he's just been terrific. 8 touchdowns now. He's averaging 81 yards a game, which that number has continued to climb over the course of the season. And he's gotten more reps and picked up more yards.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been a constant for the Northwestern offense and really coming into his own, as you mentioned. You know, I think, you know, Northwestern needs to continue to feed him, right? Their most successful drives is when he gets, you know, 4 to 7 yards on first down. And I think when you look back at, you know, their struggles in the red zone and tight zone, specifically, you know, that first drive in the second half, it's like when you miss an opportunity on first down and go for a long pass, and then you're kind of behind schedule with down and distance. It's like, let's just not overcomplicate it. Let's continue to feed him, especially on first down, and stay on schedule, right? And if you are going to throw it on first down, which I am a big proponent of, you know, make it chunk plays, easy throws, you know, long handoffs, because this team, you know, struggles a little bit when they get behind schedule. But yeah, credit to Caleb and the running back coaches and room. because he's really coming to his own. And as you mentioned, not having Hyman and Reeder, I think did show up a little bit as Caleb, you know, not that he got tired, but it's nice to have those guys as a different kind of speed here and there. And Robbie Preckle's a great, you know, downhill runner, but he's just really not a threat to go the distance like the other two guys are. So hopefully they can get back to Saturday.
But you know what I did like? They used Komolafe as a receiver out of the backfield, which is something they hadn't really done. He was their leading receiver Friday night, 5 catches, had the big 18-yard gain on one of their early drives. And obviously that's a role that Hyman normally has, but it was nice to see Caleb get involved in the passing game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I'm sure it's something that he's focused on to become a more complete back. And he, to your point, he hasn't had to really do that much with Hyman kind of filling that role. But yeah, he's just a talented guy, and hopefully they can find more creative ways to get him the ball as much as possible.
All right, the fake punt. You've been around Northwestern football for a long time, as have I, and it seems like there have been too many times where, after the fact, there's been a statement from the Big Ten or a realization that something happened in a game that should have not gone against the Wildcats, but it did. And in this case, the Big Ten came out with a statement saying that fake punt, that there should have been a penalty against USC because they used two players at the same position in the same game wearing the same number. In this case, it was third-string quarterback Sam Heward wearing number 80. And I'm just not sure, and I know that David Braun, the Wildcats head coach, has kind of taken the blame for this. I'm just not sure how you can determine that a team is using has a player wearing a different number that he hasn't worn all year, and it's only listed one place before the game. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't think ultimately it was the deciding factor in the game, but it certainly was damaging to the Wildcats' cause.
Yeah, I don't think it was the deciding factor, but it was a big moment when Northwestern got a big stop and they were about to get the ball back after, you know, nobody could really stop anybody on either side. So, yeah, and in the referee's defense, it's like, how the heck are they going to know that that happened in real time to flag it, right? I think, you know, most people figured it out like a quarter later. So really just shame on USC. That it's kind of just a BS move, because it's something that shouldn't be in the game. I'm all for fake punts, but, you know, trying to manipulate, you know, different plays is just not the right thing to do. And I know Coach Braun is trying to fall on the sword, but it's not his fault. Like how is he supposed to know when someone, a quarterback takes a punter's number and they look the same, right? It's just, I thought it was, you know, poor form on Lincoln Riley, and he's going to say, look, I told him before the game. It's like, okay, did you really? So yeah, it stinks because it's one of those situations where, you know, the Big Ten coming out and saying it's illegal after the fact doesn't do much. And even if they caught it 2 drives later, like they still scored on that drive. So it's just one of those things where, you know, it's like, you know, the ref making a wrong call at the end of the game, and it dictates the game, but, you know, they're not going to go back and change the outcome. So it's just one of those unfortunate situations.
Well, that said, it's something they got to forget about now and focus on Michigan this week at Wrigley Field. All right, joining us now at number 18 of the Wildcats, the safety graduate from Pickerington, Ohio, Garner Wallace. He's played in 35 games for the Cats over 4 seasons, and finally is a starter this year every game. Garner's the 4th leading tackler on the Cats behind Rob Fitzgerald, Mac Uihlein, Braden Bruss. Garner, Dave Ennett, Dan Persa here. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, yeah. I didn't know it was 35 games. That's a lot, but I'm doing well.
Well, my math could be wrong. It's not my strong suit, but I think it's pretty close. You paid your dues, especially on special teams. So what's it been like to make the transition to become an every game starter here in 2025?
Yeah, it's really, really awesome this year. Getting to see all the work I've put in over the years pay off, you know, not really getting that many opportunities at safety, but you know, continuing to work even when you're not seeing the success on the field. But, you know, just being able to play special teams and contribute to the Cats over the years. You know, I love the Cats, and I could have left to go somewhere else, but wanted to stay here with the guys I love. So it's awesome to be able to contribute this year.
I think fans remember your fumble return for a touchdown in Champaign. That was kind of your coming out party in 2023. Is that still the highlight for you?
Yeah, that's probably the highlight. That's probably the highlight of my whole football career, honestly, because it was really cool having my so it was obviously at Illinois. And so my younger sister plays basketball there, and she was on a visit at the time. And so my whole family was there. Sisters were there. And so it was crazy because that never happens on kickoff, but it was awesome.
Yeah, that was a big win too. That was the seventh win and the Land of Lincoln Trophy. And then you guys were off and running to the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yes. Yeah, it was great. Great to go to a bowl game. That was so fun. It was a fun game.
Connor, Dan Percy here. Thanks again for joining us. Maybe talk a little bit about the defensive back room and just the amount of talent you guys have on the back end there. Obviously dealing with some injuries throughout the season, but seems like a really talented group, a tight group that's made a lot of plays and you know, very experienced.
Yeah, it's really great, especially the safety room. I know them obviously a little bit better than the corners, but just having a lot of guys who've been around the defense for a while and been here. Rob and Damon know the defense really well, so being able to talk to them, you know, whenever we have questions is great. And with the corners too, a lot of guys that have been here too, Fuss and Ori and Smitty when he was going. It's great as the whole entire defense, like having a bunch of guys that I've been playing with for years in practice, even if I wasn't on the field. Like, we have that cohesion there, so it's great to see. Yes, working well.
Yeah, for sure. When you look to Saturday and the Michigan offense, what are some things that stick out to you that they do well and some of the things that you guys hope to take advantage of?
Yeah, well, they run the ball a lot. So, you know, for every game in the Big Ten, we want to try and stop the run. So, you know, we're making sure that we're trying to, you know, pick up on tendencies and see what they're doing. But, you know, the first thing we got to do is stop the run, and then we can have a lot of success as a whole defense if we do that. And all the games that we've won, it's been because we've been able to stop the run well.
You look at your defense overall. I mean, that's kind of been your calling card, right? You guys have been able to stop the run, and certainly you've held most of your teams that you've played that have good passing games, you've held them in check as well. Is there a kind of a swagger on this defense, do you think?
That's a good word for it. Yeah, I mean, you got to play with confidence when you're out there. We always say, no matter who's out there, you got to play like you're the best player on the field. And I feel like everyone who's playing feels like that. Like, no matter if, like, John has to step in for a play, if Rob's helmet comes off, like, he's, you know, feeling like he's the best player on the field. And we got to communicate loudly and be confident, because you can't go out there and second guess if you're even supposed to be out there. You got to really be on your stuff. And I feel like what's really helped us, we always talk about too, like, having a good the best third down defense is first and second down defense. We can get them into the third and long situations instead of, you know, third and one and two, where it's kind of hard to stop them, getting them to third and long so we can, you know, it's tougher for them to convert there. So you always got to step it up on the first and second down.
You've played with some outstanding guys. We're visiting with Northwestern safety Garner Wallace, Coco, Brandon Joseph, Rod Hurd, guys like that. What did you take away from them?
It was really, really great being able to be behind them for a little bit to, you know, see how they work every day, like in the off season, you know, putting in that extra work, and seeing them, how well they knew the defense, and then continuing to learn the defense as myself. And just, really, I think just like their work ethic, like Coco, obviously a great leader, who's a captain for us, being able to, communicate like that in the safety room as the defense. Really learning from those guys and them teaching us along the way. Like Rod had some really great stuff that he would share with us on man-to-man technique. So all those guys were great to play with.
You mentioned earlier you could have gone someplace else and you wanted to stay here, but tell us about your path to Northwestern, because coming out of Pickerington Central High School, you had a bunch of offers. How'd you end up in Evanston?
Yeah. So I didn't know when I was first in high school, I didn't know if I was going to play basketball in college or football or even track. I had a D1 offer in basketball before I did in football. So wasn't sure how it was going to work out, but I started getting recruited by some better schools in football. So I was like, all right, I think this is the route it's going to go. And when I learned more about Northwestern, it just had the combination of everything that I wanted in school, great academics, great football team, and being in the Big Ten, a competitive conference, even more today with, the more teams we got, Power Four schools, the Big Ten's best conference in the country, like being able to compete at the highest level was a huge thing for me. And at the time, we were coming off of like 2018 and 2020, we were in the Big Ten championship. So that was, something I wanted to go with a competitive sure. team. It just had everything that I wanted. And it wasn't too far from home. So I didn't realize that I didn't want to be not as far away from home until, I left home. Chicago's not too far away from Ohio. But not too bad.
Right. Well, I can tell you this, there are people around the Northwestern basketball program who speak very highly of your game. you ever have any second thoughts about going football versus basketball?
Nah, I don't know, because it's really cool being a part of a football team because you have so many guys from a bunch of different places. So it's cool, like, being a part of a big community like that. But also, basketball, it's fun to watch the games, and it'll be cool. If my sister playing basketball in Illinois, it's mm-hmm. more of a rivalry like that in basketball. I've loved all the guys that I've been with football. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe some days regrets, but not really. I've had a great time.
Yeah. You have a lot on your table right now. I'll tell you what, this basketball team they're kind of following the way you guys have gone this year in terms of the way they've started out. They look very good. So I'm sure you'll get a chance to watch them once you guys are done with your season, which hopefully is a ways off. So,
yes, sir.
But Garner, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Good luck at Wrigley Field on Saturday. How you feel about playing at Wrigley?
It's awesome. We need to get a dub at Wrigley. I don't know if we've gotten one since I've been here. So, that's the biggest thing that I want, to be able to celebrate with my family there. I got a bunch of friends and stuff coming. So I'm excited. It's always fun to play there.
Have a great game Saturday, and thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's Gardner Wallace of the Wildcats joining us on Collegiately Speaking. Great visiting with Garner. I think certainly he's had an impact back there. This defense, again, over the course of the season, they slipped outside the top 20 nationally this week in passing yards allowed and in scoring defense and total defense. They're 33rd. Those numbers all went up a little bit this week with the loss to USC, but still, overall, a good performance over the course of the season by this defense, despite some injuries in the secondary. And now they get ready for the Michigan Wolverines at Wrigley Field on Saturday. Michigan, with 7 wins on the season, playing a freshman quarterback, but not just any freshman quarterback. Bryce Underwood, he's thrown for just under 1,700 yards, 7 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions. He's also a guy who can make some plays with his legs, but they don't really need him to do that a whole lot, Dan, because of this Michigan running game.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, a la Jim Harbaugh, right? A smash mouth football team that runs the ball first. And Bryce Underwood's going to be a great player, and he's I think he's doing pretty well this year, but he's still young. So rightfully so, they're relying on their running game and defense. So I think it's going to be, you know, a punch you in the face kind of game on Saturday, right? With both teams, solid defenses, solid running games, and you know, who's going to make the plays at quarterback to win the game. But I think this is a very winnable game for Northwestern. One they really need to kind of stop the skid. And I'm sure they'll be ready to go, and getting some guys back on offense and defense will be helpful. But when you look at, you know, their track record at Wrigley, it hasn't been great. And it'll be, you know, effectively a Michigan crowd, I would assume. So, you know, hopefully the team's up to the task, but it's really, I think it's a more winnable game than USC. Certainly in my mind, because of the way the offense plays. But yeah, hopefully they can continue to take care of the ball and run the ball, and get out of there with a win.
If you remember late last season when the Wildcats played at Wrigley Field, they played Ohio State, the eventual national champion, and they played Illinois. They hung in both those games. In fact, into the second quarter, I think maybe even past halftime against Ohio State. And then, you know, they hung in there against Illinois, and that was, I think, and you would agree, Northwestern was struggling much more than they have in these last two games. So I think that's a good sign. I think they'll be amped up to play at Wrigley, and I think it's an opportunity for them to get that sixth win, become bowl eligible with two games to go. And look, they're underdogs, no question about that, but it's not like it's out of the question that they can go out there and win this game on Saturday. But they're going to have to play well, and they're going to have to find a way to slow down Michigan's running attack.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's hard to overstate how massive this is just for the momentum of the rest of the season, and just taking the pressure off the sixth win. And then, you know, again, if they lose, it's going to be, you know, another tough two games and a lot of pressure on those. But if they win, I think they could really flourish and win out. So we'll see. It's a massive game.
We will see you out at Wrigley on Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right. So it's an 11 a.m. kickoff Saturday at Wrigley Field, Central Time. And, of course, we'll have the game for you on WGN Radio, the Varsity Network app. And it all starts at 10:30 Central Time. Ted Albrecht and I will have the pregame, and then Northwestern and Michigan. First of back-to-back games for the Cats at Wrigley at 11 o'clock. Many thanks to Garner Wallace for jumping on with us today. And thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for joining us for Collegiately Speaking. We'll be with you again next week.